What's up, everybody? It's Roger and James here, founder of the Skinny Podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking all about this last week's comic books, and it's kind of it's going to be something that we're going to be doing regularly now as kind of like a weekly episode where we're going to be looking back at like three or four or five of our favorite books of the week, because you know we're reading them week in, week out, and we enjoy talking about them. So it's something I thought we're going to add now as kind of a continuous issue on Tuesdays. So James, what have you been reading this week?
Let's see. Off the top of my head, I read Asgardians of the Galaxy, which is a Secret Wars, or sorry, an Infinity Wars tie-in. Finished off Ant-Man and the Wasp. That was the five-issue miniseries. And then I checked out both of the Star Wars titles and Weapon X and X-Men Gold. So it was a pretty heavy week for me, actually.
Yeah, I did Asgardians of the Galaxy. I did do Weapon X because you did, so I did jump in and read that one. Just sometimes it's like the thing of like, what are you reading? So at least I can. It usually gives me I'll to try and get an extra one in. Star Wars was it 53? I always
53, and then there was also the Dr. Aphra annual.
I don't do that one because I've never got into it, so I don't bother with it now. But Star Wars is always my like go to. Issue. I love that series. Trying to think what else I read. I read Avengers 7.
Right.
And what else?
Cosmic Ghost Rider.
That Ghost Rider was the main part of Avengers 7. Because it was.
No, the Cosmic Ghost Rider is a different book. Yeah. What about Thanos Legacy?
Yes, I read that one as well. Yeah, because I tried to say on some of like the ones. Yeah, it was Thanos Legacy. That was tied into Infinity Wars, where it's kind of it didn't really make a lot of sense because it was generally about him kind of dying from Gamora, but then what's going on and he's changing time and jumping around a bit. Wasn't so keen on that one. That one, I don't think I'm not going to carry on with that series. That's probably the end of that one for me. I don't know. Did you read that one?
No. But we both did read As Guardians of the Galaxy. That ties into Infinity Wars. So when we talk about that one.
Odd.
It was very odd. It makes more sense, and I didn't know this going into it. It makes a little bit more sense if you realize that it's kind of an unofficial sequel or continuation to a book that came out a couple years ago called The Fearless Defenders, which was a series that had both the current version of Valkyrie, who was one of the characters in this book, and then Misty Knight, who's not in this one, and what's her name? Angela made a couple of appearances. It was supposed to be a women's team. It only lasted a couple of issues, but this is by the same writer. He's picking up some of the same plot points. So it's kind of that. It's also kind of, but not really connected to Infinity Wars. I think the only nod to Infinity Wars was Nebula shows up with a giant axe and cuts a hole in space. And that's it. So,
yeah, I thought it was part of like this Infinity Warps series that they're doing of where they're mixing up the different franchises and like you know mixing two characters together. So I was just as Guardians of the Galaxy, and it was like I was reading and I don't think this is. This looks like they've done. This is supposed to be a proper team.
Yeah, and it was not part of Warps with a P. It was just an Infinity Wars. These are the normal characters. Yeah. They're second tier, third tier characters. We've got Scourge, who people recognize from Thor Ragnarok, although bears almost no resemblance to that character. You've got Thunderstrike, who is a Thor knockoff. You have Throg, which is Frog Thor. And then you've got the Destroyer armor, which has a person we won't name, and it's revealed on the final panel, but we won't spoil that.
Yeah, it was... I did like it in some ways because it was a bit different. It was that weird thing of like, for me, it was a little bit too far out there. Too many just odd characters. Because for me, you know, I'll be honest, Valkyrie and what's the guy's name? The Executioner?
Yeah, Scourge or the Executioner. Yeah.
You know, I'll be honest, I only know them from Thor Ragnarok. So they were so far removed from, I mean, especially Valkyrie. So there's suddenly two women joined together.
Yeah, it's a completely different take on the character. The version in Thor Ragnarok bears no resemblance to any version of the character in comics until recently they added her to Exiles. But even that's a very different version. So
which I always think is bad because that's like, I'm sorry, but you need to kind of the movie version, as much as it shouldn't do, kind of shapes where it goes from here on out for people coming in. And this character is so removed from them for, I mean, yeah, maybe the movie should have kept more closer to the comic book, but it felt a bit like, what? I was reading it, I'm like, I've got a frog here. I mean, I know he's been, because I've seen him in video games, but I've never actually ever seen him in a comic book. Always, yeah.
Legend of Frog Thor, or yeah. Throg, as he is called. Now, we're stuck in this kind of eternal fight between Marvel Cinematic and Marvel Comics. And, you know, it kind of seems to ebb and flow which direction they're going in. And because they want to capitalize on the name recognition, obviously, Valkyrie, Executioner, etc. But they're stuck in this thing where you can't use the characters from the movies because they're not the versions that have been established in the comics. And this results in some very, very weird storytelling from time. Like, they did a whole mini series several years ago to turn Nick Fury black so he would... And it's a new Nick Fury, but because it's a new Nick Fury, you lose a lot of that. Well, this is the guy who's been running S.H.I.E.L.D. for 50 years, because it's not. It's a guy who's been running S.H.I.E.L.D. for like 20 minutes, and he is absolutely not qualified for the job at all. So you went to all this trouble to replace Nick Fury with one who's closer to the movies, but he's not closer to the movies because it's not the same character. Valkyrie the same way, Iron Man's personality shift, the Guardians of the Galaxy are completely different from how they traditionally were presented in the comics, and they've gone back and they've, you know, adjusted the comics so they match the movies. They've to adjust to match the movies. That's what I meant. Yeah. They've even gone back and they've retconned that there is a movie version of Yondu, even though his character is completely different in the comics. So it's this push pull. Yeah.
I think the trouble is, it's like, you know, I consider myself a casual reader. Now, I read 4 to 5 comics a week, which probably actually does take me away from being a casual reader, because that's probably more than a casual reader would do. And even I'm, you know, there's like making the MCU and all the rest of it, they make these things mainstream. And like Nebula, like in the middle of that Guardians of the Galaxy, she turns out, she looks identical to how she does in the movie. And with the same kind of character, but I mean, obviously she's got this axe and all the rest of it. You don't know what the hell's going on, but instantly just kind of like recognizable that's what it looked like.
To be fair, Nebula really didn't change much for the movies. They gave her a little slightly different backstory, but she has always been a daughter of Thanos. I think in the comics, it's actually a literal daughter rather than a... Sorry, say it again.
I think they refer to her as the granddaughter of Thanos.
It kind of switches, but she has been the daughter. She's been the granddaughter. It depends on the continuity. Yeah. The design has changed a bit, but she's always been a cyborg.
Yeah.
She's always been a cosmic villain. She was a major player in the first Infinity Wars crossover, the one that the movies are mostly based on. I won't say what her role was in that in case they decide to follow it in the movie as well. But she plays a very important role in that, but she is very close to what they had in the comics. Gamora is also very close to what she was in the comics, except she's significantly less villainous in the Marvel cinematic. She pretty much embraced the whole most dangerous woman in the galaxy assassin previously. And now they've toned her down and made her closer, but she's still very similar.
Mm. But would you, I was going to say, would you recommend As Guardians of the Galaxy to people?
No, not really. I mean, it's not a bad book by any stretch of the imagination, but it's a book that doesn't really make sense. It doesn't really have a purpose. It says it ties into Infinity Wars, but so far, other than Nebula appearing, we have no idea why. It just seems like it's going to be some random side story involving these characters, these D-list characters that they need to keep the copyright up on. I mean, maybe check some reviews to see how it ends. Maybe it's worth checking out in trade paperback, but honestly, no, I think this is completely missable.
Yeah, I won't be carrying on with the series. It didn't catch me enough to do that. Some of the other ones that we did, Avengers 7, did you jump into that one?
No, I dropped Avengers after issue 3. It was just getting a little too
weird.
It was a little weird, but that's not the word I'm looking for. Maybe self-indulgent. It seems like it's got a big point to make, but it's really just kind of running around in circles. But you did read Seven, yeah. So what yeah, were your it was really weird
because you kind of had this kid. We've gone back to the Ice Age with some kid in a cave with Neanderthals, and turns out the Ghost Rider is inside of the kid and ends up riding a mammoth and is then fighting a big. I was a villain, but I've completely forgotten the name, and he's like a monster and he eats people. And I was just, it was a bit like, this whole thing with Avengers set, this whole new reboot for Avengers set is going back in time, fighting Sentinels, things from, you know, it's like we went from like No Surrender to this like wacky, weird thing of time travel of variant versions from the past. And it's just like, I am really struggling to kind of keep going with this. It's like, this is not where I thought the Avengers were going to go when they rebooted.
No, I was really hoping that they were going to go with something that would be accessible. You know, this is the time for them to reach out to new Avengers readers, like we were just talking about. You know, this could have been the series following No Surrender, where they could have gone, all right, you like the movies? These are relatively close versions of the characters to the movies. They'd already moved in that general direction. They got Thor back. They got Iron Man back. They've got Captain America not traveling through time into a dystopian America, etc. And now they're off doing this Ice Age nonsense and Ghost Riders floating around. It's just like you miss the mark completely with what the story you should be telling right now. Because what would be great is if you go into the movie theaters next year, you see Avengers 4, whatever the subtitle for it will be. And, you know, one of the pre-order things on Fandango or your local cinema is, hey, you get your ticket and we will give you a Comixology digital code for the first trade paperback of the Avengers. Yeah. And it's the Avengers that you know, but it's in the Marvel Universe. It's free. Read it, enjoy. And if they gave me this code, I'd probably be here. I'm gonna do this as a giveaway.
Yes. It's a real shame because I feel like in some ways, like some of these core titles, they need to be a little bit more casually friendly. I do feel like this one's kind of, you know, doing things like As Guardians of the Galaxy is fine because that's for. They're able to go off and do something a bit more adventurous. But I feel like the Avengers and Spider-Man and, you know, they need to be a little bit safer. And so I'm carrying on with it because it's the Avengers, but it's very much like, I've really got no idea where it's going or what it's doing. I'm kind of waiting for the next reboot.
Which probably not that far off, to be honest. And I do think this is going to be a recurring theme as we talk about this every, you know, so often. Marvel has written themselves into a corner now where they have the cinematic universe and they need to make the cinematic universe as close as possible to the comic universe or vice versa, but they can't because of the continuity and there's going to be this constant pull and they need to figure out what their solution is because they keep trying different things and they're not working and they need to just stick with one and say, this is just the way it is. And it's entirely possible that this is where Avengers is leading right now. This all this ancient history, legacy, totem, whatever stuff is going to be them going, all right, this is how we make Tony Stark and Steve Rogers and Odin Thorson, Thor Odinson, like their movie counterparts. This is, you know, we're going to do some time travel stuff and now they're going to be like the movie parts. And people will be a little bit angry, but eventually they'll forget.
Yeah. Jumping now over to we'll do Weapon X, because that was one that you recommended to do.
Well, no, I did not. I you just asked me what I was reading.
Yeah, I did not say. I was like, last time I was reading X, and I was getting through it, and then I went, hold on a minute, I had got completely confused. I thought I was reading X 2023, which is what we've been reading for a while now, and I don't know why. I just, all these X's, I think I just got, it was like last minute going, right, okay, I need another book. Oh yeah, Weapon X. And I'm like, where's Honey Badger and Lauren gone? And I'm about halfway through the book going, yeah, this isn't the book I thought I was reading. I'm a complete doofus of just like, yeah, I brought the wrong book.
That actually happened to me. I can't remember what book it was. It wasn't Weapon X. It was another book where I might have been actually a TV show, but I was watching it or reading it, and I'm like, wait. No, this is all wrong. What's going on here? But yeah, if you'd actually phrased it as recommend books for the week, I would not have included Weapon X on the list. Not because it's a bad book. I'm actually enjoying Weapon X. It's kind of like that fun Michael Bay action-y movie. Yeah. It's just straight mayhem. But it's the second issue in a story arc. You know, it's not the starting point. It's not where you should be jumping onto Weapon X, especially since they just changed the format recently. They made it Sabretooth's team instead of Wolverine's team. And it's, yeah.
I did enjoy it. Yeah, I think when they got Deadpool in there and he's fighting against all the heroes and you've got all these villains, it was like, and they're teaming up and you got this big mechanical striker. I did enjoy it. I'll be honest. I did enjoy reading it. And even though I didn't have a clue what was going on, it was like being dropped into the middle, like you say, into the middle of a Michael Bay action movie. And I'm just like, yeah, fine, carry on. You got Deadpool, you got Wolverine and Domino and everyone fighting away. Lots of wise cracks. Just, yeah. And it's because I watched Howard the Duck last week. Definitely that kind of thing of like, yeah, no, I did enjoy it. So it was a good read.
Yeah, it's a fun, it's by Fred Van Lente and Greg Pak, who know what they're doing. They don't tell, you know, the world shattering, major stories, but they tell these more actiony kind of fluff stories, and they're very good at it. So Weapon X is a fun series. I wouldn't necessarily recommend starting with this issue in particular. Yeah. I think it was 23. But it's worth going and checking out. Yeah. It's just for fun. Don't take it seriously. Just enjoy it as an action ride.
Yeah. Okay. Now, last ones, Star Wars. Star Wars one. I loved it. I thought this was a really good episode. It was just, it was full of action. The war is in, you know, they're in full blown, like, we've got to get out of here. We're trying to make it. And it just, I thought this one was a really fun episode or a fun issue.
I really enjoyed it. But again, it is a largely space battle episode. Yeah. And as I've mentioned many times on this podcast, I love the space battles aspects. So this for me was just like, yeah, it's X-Wings, it's TIE fighters, the Millennium Falcon, giant ships blowing up and all this fun stuff. And it was a good episode. Issue. It was a really good issue. You know, Han is in the Millennium Falcon. He ends up taking over an X-Wing after Vader shoots the Falcon down. You know, Luke is leading Rogue Squadron, which only just got named in the previous issue or two. Leia's off doing her own thing. And even though we obviously know they're going to get out, they have to get out because, you know, we haven't gotten to Empire Strikes Back yet. They can't change that. There's this great feeling of like, these guys are totally screwed. Mm-hmm. The ships are blowing up left, right, and center. How are they going to get out of this? And even though we know they will get out of it, there's still that, I don't know how they're going to do this. I want to see how are they going to get out of this in the next issue. So,
I was going to say, I really enjoy having the weekly Star Wars fix because it always feels like it's that thing that takes you away from the Marvel side of things, puts you in a completely different universe, different kind of things. I do like reading sometimes some different bits and pieces, but the Star Wars main series, I think the artwork's got better. The photorealism's been toned back a little bit. It's a little bit more. It's not quite as jarring as it was like 6 months ago.
Yeah, they've definitely toned that back. A lot of people have kind of gotten on the artist about it. I'm probably going to mispronounce his name, but it's Salvador LaRocca. And he is an artist I've known, followed for a very long time. I've seen him working with Chris Claremont on the X-Men in the early 2000s when I was working in a comic shop. And it was really weird seeing him doing this in Star Wars. And like, that's not his style. The whole fake photo realism that looked really, really bad on like Princess Leia and Han and all these guys. I'm like, why is he doing this? And I suspect that it was an order that came down from on high. You know, management wanted them to look as close as possible, and it looked awful. And the fan reaction has been absolutely completely negative towards it. And I think finally the brass or whoever made this decision is finally being okay, kind of back it off. It doesn't need to look that way. Cause none of the other comics look like that either. It's just that.
It's definitely, I would always recommend, if you're a Star Wars fan, this one, Darth Vader, they are two of my like monthly highlights, usually a month. I just like it. They know what they're doing. It seems that thing are often of, they know what they're going for. They are tied into the movie, so they've got that structure. Yeah, a lot of stuff happens in between because it definitely happens, but they seem to get what they're trying to do with it a lot. You know, they're not trying to build this great big lost back time and filling all in with, you know, they know what they're doing and they're trying to just tell more Star Wars stories.
Yeah, and then they're doing a really good job. You mentioned Darth Vader, which has been just firing on all cylinders. It's been a great ride all around. Charles Soule is right in that one, and he knows what he's doing. The Poe Dameron series is just about to end. I know we're getting some other ones thrown in there. Lando, Double or Nothing, whatever his series. It's just a mini series, so we know that's coming to a close soon. But they keep putting out good stuff, and as long as the quality remains high, both on this title and Poe Dameron and Dr. Aphra. I know you're not reading that one, but I'm really loving that one too.
Yeah, I was going to ask you on that one. Is that any good? Is that one still?
So the annual is always a bit of a different story, because for whatever reason in the Star Wars comics, they've been using the annuals to set up stories that are going to pop up later down the road. Like if you've been reading the regular Star Wars, they're currently dealing with this Magistrix from the mining planet, and she betrayed them in earlier issues of this current story arc. But her story started in Star Wars Annual number 2. They had another story before that. So the Dr. Aphra one is a standalone story where she has hired some monster hunters to go and hunt a monster, but she's got her own reasons for it. And the farther you get along in the book, the more you're kind of like, something weird is going on here. But more than likely, you know, it's a one-off story. It's a lot of fun. But I would expect that these two monster hunters that the story establishes are now going to appear somewhere down the road in the regular Dr. Aphra series. And that's kind of been what the annuals have been doing. But this one, it is a standalone story. You can read it without having too much context around it. You just need to know who the main character is. And she only appears towards the end of it anyway. Honestly, I really enjoyed it. And I don't think that you really need too much background knowledge to go into it. Just go in and have fun, because it's the quirky Star Wars title. It's the character who's just a little bit off. Is she a good guy? Is she a bad guy? Well, neither, really. She's just the selfish guy. She is the person who, more than Solo, more than Lando, more than any of the Solo team from the movie, she is out for one person and one person only, and she will use anybody and everything to advance herself, often to hilarious effect.
Yes, this is it was one of those ones of just, I think I'd missed it, and then it was too late, and then it's just like, it was one of those series of just like, I just completely just skipped, and now it's so far in, it's like, I can't get in on that.
Yeah, and even though the series itself is on issue like 20 or something like that, but if you really want to get into the Aphra book, you have to start with the original Darth Vader run from 2015. Which went for 25 issues. And that is pretty much critical reading if you want to understand everything that's going on in Aphra. You can pick it up at the beginning of the new arcs and kind of figure out what's going on, but it is very continuity dense, and it's continuity within itself.
Yeah.
So
there we go. So that is a quick look there at what we've been sort of reading this week. Obviously, Wednesday, we get a whole new fresh batch of comic books. So we'll be back next week with, I'm going through our thoughts on some of our favorites this week or coming up. Go check us out over at thiskingdom.com. Like, follow, and subscribe on all the different video and audio platforms. James, where can they find you?
You can find me, heroiclegacy.com.
And on that note, guys, thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back soon. Laters.
Later.